They seemed to be interested in me, a curiosity from Earth, complete with astral cord. Next headline, animals. On entry to the spirit life, animals do not at once settle down in harmony together. The earthly instinct of hunting to get food subsides in time owing to the futility of it, and apparently the spirit laws are on the side of the hunted. However, I have not seen animals which had always been naturally wild. I once saw a cow with a calf walking by its side. The calf was very small and I sensed that it was yet unborn when its mother was slaughtered on earth, and resumed a separate existence in spirit. A greyhound approached and instinctively the calf ran and naturally the greyhound chased it, but even this swift dog was easily outpaced. Physical powers do not apply here and the frantic desire of self-preservation draws more deeply on the spirit resources available. The calf made a wide detour and regained its mother once more and I picked it up and it laid contentedly in my arms. It seemed to know that it was being protected, or sensed my sympathy. Once when at a friend's house in spirit and glancing through the window at the garden, I saw a squirrel hastily running up a tree. On going into the garden I found that it was getting out of the way of a monkey which was making for a greenhouse. I tried to head it off, but it entered the greenhouse and I said, "Out you go!" And it went. Then three cats which were lying in its path, scrambled out of its way and onto the roof of a shed. The monkey then loped round the back of another shed and I heard a commotion inside and saw that it was a chicken house and threw her small door-backed chicken with feathers fluffed up and looking very agitated. I then lost sight of the monkey, but it seems that in spirit, little monkeys are still little monkeys for a time. It is interesting to note that the squirrel, myself and the cats, all sensed that the monkey still had its mischievous streak. A greenhouse is, of course, quite unnecessary in spirit, but if the owner still holds the idea that the proper setting of certain plants is under glass, then he has his greenhouse. In the garden of this house I saw rabbits playing in the grass around my feet and I had to be careful not to step on them. I also noticed some animals like small bears and as they look carnivorous I expected some instinctive apprehension on the part of the rabbits, but they all seemed happy together. On one occasion when I had projected from an armchair during the day, a tabby cat was put on my lap on my return and a voice said, "It is Tiger." I clairvoyantly recognized it as one of the cats we used to have. It was quite unconcerned and licked its chest as earth cats do. The sea in spirit looks the same, but rivers do not reflect the light on the surface, so one can easily see any fish that may be in them. I have seen the easily recognizable ones, such as goldfish and what appear to be pike. I have seen the popular tropical fish in small ornamental ponds. Their colors are very vivid and they are larger than those on Earth. I have never owned a dog but it is a remarkable experience to be with some domesticated pets in spirit. Once I was sitting on the bank and a rather large dog came and sat beside me. I put an arm round it and the next moment felt an emanation of deep love and companionship that was almost human. Some rabbits I handled when sitting on a lawn nearly overwhelmed me in their eagerness to be petted. Once in a beautifully bright place I was watching the people there and a man passed whom I sensed was an Egyptian. His appearance was very fine and his face seemed to shine. He had a dog with him of the long-haired greyhound type but it looked strange as its nose was short and I wondered if this was the original of the breed. Next headline, war intermission. I have never seen my spirit body re-enter the physical body but I have seen my spirit hands do so. During the Second World War one had been projected during the day from the room over my shop one Sunday, and was on a bright plain watching a spirit ceremony of some sort. There were beautiful lawns and the people all wore colored robes. Suddenly I heard several bangs and was at once drawn back to the body. It seemed a considerable distance away, but when I got within my physical body and listened, I found that the bangs were not bombs, but came from a motor lorry slowly passing my shop in low gear and misfiring. Without moving, I mentally asked my helper, "Please take me back." And at once we began our journey back and arrived at the same spot in spirit. At once the full import of this wonderful and simple truth came to me as I again saw these happy people in beautiful surroundings. Coming from a war-troubled world, full of pain, grief and anxiety, I felt an intense wave of pity for those on earth. I also felt a strange sense of loneliness as if between two worlds. I was not of these people nor could I bring realization to my own kind on earth. This was the first time that I have ever felt sad when being with such people and I was to be still further depressed. Presently my helper told me that this must be the last visit for a time as it was becoming dangerous and now it was time to go back. This was a blow to me and I felt desolate to think that this great comfort and teaching would have to stop. It was significant, too, that my spirit helper had now made himself visible and was standing by my side. He was a tall man in a colored robe and he looked sad as if he was feeling my depression. The solidity and crystal clear beauty of my surroundings impressed me more than ever, and foolishly, so it seemed. I wanted to take some memento back with me. There was nothing near and time was going. Quickly I bent down and grasped two hands full of earth and held my clenched fists before my eyes and with all my willpower determined not to let go. My helper must have smiled. Beyond the concentration on the spirit earth I felt the movement of my return journey, the halt, and then the awareness of my bodily weight on the armchair. Then, still concentrating on my clenched fists I began to feel the weight of my arms on the armrests of the chair and as I did so, my spirit fists unclenched, turned over and simply slid into my physical hands as if entering gloves. This instant changing from the spiritual to the physical seemed so natural that although rather dazed with my strong concentration, I looked down for some signs of the spirit earth I must have dropped. That night I was clairvoyantly shown the dangers of projection at that time. It was not bombs. I saw a long narrow pond in which a goldfish was swimming from one end to the other. On the banks there were vicious looking people with nets, trying to catch the fish. It was impressed on me that I was the fish. I believe that the troubled state of the world gave more scope to the trouble-making lower ones, as it is more of their element. Also, in fully conscious periods in spirit more of the life forces passed through the astral cord, hence the danger. It was some time before my projections began again. Next headline, Chapter 4, The Brighter Spheres. Subheadline. Simplicity of bright planes. The apparent simplicity of spiritual truths is never more evident than when one is on the brilliant planes. I say brilliant because the whiteness overhead is something like that of midday nearer the tropics but with no discomfort. The effect upon me in these states is always the same. I seemed to know more, or have greater access to knowledge. The vibrations of such places have a very pleasant effect on the sensitive spirit body, and to be with others of that plane is better still as they emit a feeling of great friendship. This radiation of friendliness is very sincere and noticeable owing, I expect, to the greater extent of their auras, which I cannot see in these bright states. I have been able to see the auras of the advanced ones only when they show in greater contrast to the dull astral planes. This continuously emitted friendship towards others can be interpreted as unselfishness and consideration for others in all ways. This sounds simple but it can mean a great deal. There is a complete absence of class, sets or cliques. There are no critical thoughts or lionizing some to the exclusion of others. There are no sects, dogmas, or denominations with their earthly trimmings that have led to so much division and bloodshed throughout history. It is all very simple. These people are doing what a few spiritual teachers down the ages have taught, and which translated means, love one another. We can imagine the improvement there would be if we did this on earth as it is in heaven, because it has a wonderful effect there. Millions have repeated this in their prayers without knowing the real meaning of it. Again, to put it simply, it means that if our attitude towards each other on earth was the same as on the higher planes, the whole standard of earth life would be raised. This is no miracle, there is a cause for everything, with its consequent effect. The great mind that is spirit encompasses everything even to the most remote atom. Sir James Jeans, the scientist, wrote in The Mysterious Universe, "The universe is beginning to look more like a great thought than a great machine. This is true but belated. There was no beginning. The great mind always was." When wireless telegraphy was in the experimental stage, it was found necessary to tune into a wavelength. Many scientists after passing into spirit life have been astounded to find that an ethereal substance or matter, perhaps particles or the newly designated subatoms, also exists in space vibrating at different rates. The spirit body has also to tune into this to receive its impressions. This is probably the substance of the spirit realms, and the different rates of vibration would correspond to the different stages of progress. Objects and places in spirit look the same as on Earth and just as solid, although at times I have found an added interest on closer inspection. For instance, with full consciousness and in tune with a plane in spirit, the sight is keener than the best earthly eyes can ever be. There is a more stereoscopic effect, and things stand out in greater clearness and color, even to the most minute details. Looking at an ordinary brick wall in spirit once, I could see every grain in the mortar and the rough surface of the bricks, and it was, I thought, rather beautiful. Keen photographers would call it perfection in focus, depth and color. From the excavations of the early Minos, with their tablets telling of clairvoyant leaders, down through history there are records of sensitive people who have contacted these spirit wavelengths of the fuller life. They have belonged to all races and tribes, including the clans with their Highlanders' second sight. The clairvoyant lady I knew on Earth and met in spirit was a simple Scotswoman. The various names for the happier states, that is heaven, nirvana, paradise, Valhalla, Elysium, happy hunting grounds, etc., all have the same meaning, as well as those for the lower regions, and it does not seem strange to me now that seers of all ages agree in substance. Next headline, Divine Justice. After many experiences in the spirit states, one becomes a sort of spirit psychologist, and guesswork is eliminated as one continually senses the inner and real minds of people. As my lessons proceeded, I could see how very necessary it is that all should have some knowledge of spirit, and that it is much easier to learn the basic essentials on Earth than it is on entry into spirit life. This must seem strange to some, but if the mind on Earth is blank concerning spiritual truths, it is still blank on entry into spirit. How long this handicap can last, I have shown by the few examples I have recounted in my experiences of the plane of illusion. I have said that on a higher plane I seemed to know more or have some broader access to knowledge. On the higher frequencies the mind is open to higher guidance. Bearing this in mind, I once contacted the thoughts of a newcomer to spirit who was sitting quietly and gaining strength in a bright state. The thought seemed to contain the query, "What have I done to deserve all this happiness and pleasure?" It was certainly earned in some way. There are no mistakes in God's laws. A person whose inner nature was friendly and considerate to others during Earth life would automatically gravitate to the same wavelength spirit, even if that person was ignorant of spirit or religion. The state would naturally be bright, and the spirit would inherit the greater powers and broader access to knowledge pertaining to that state, and progress would be pleasant and easy. It would be as well to remember that this spirit would not be separated from relations and friends not so progressed, as the higher can always go to the lower. There is no hope of getting by with the crowd. Each of us is a separate unit, each has to learn, however long it takes. To any person we can say, "You are unique. There has never before been another person like you, nor will there ever be." Because no two persons during their existence have had exactly the same thoughts. Therefore you have made your own personal wavelength, and that is why a telepathic thought reaches its objective. Only your receiving and transmitting station has that wavelength. Our present-day knowledge of radio helps us to realize the exceedingly fine divisions in any waveband that would be needed to allot a personal wavelength to each one of so many millions of people. Truly, as a spirit visitor to a circle said, spirit is like electricity, only more subtle. I should at this point draw attention to the fact that all my experiences in the next world mainly concern the British or European states. This was, no doubt, because I could more easily follow the lines of thought and way of living of my own kind. When it is realized that every race and country on earth has its own wavelength in spirit, each conforming perfectly to the spirit law, the vastness of the God thought does indeed surpass all imagination. The great mathematician and the great architect are but two of the appellations given by the advanced ones in spirit to the great creative thought. Next headline, free will. There is free will on the earth plane and also in the spirit planes. Will means to wish or desire, whether it is followed by action or not. The exercise of free will on a spirit plane cannot affect those of any higher plane, but on earth, as we all know, acts can affect any of us, and even the thoughts of others can impinge upon us because we are all living on the same material plane. However, the spirit body that encompasses the physical body, which Saint Paul called the natural body, during earth life need not be affected by the thoughts or others if they are not good. A thought is an electric impulse that flashes out, and is retained by the tape recorder properties of the spirit body. Only one's own self-generated thoughts have the power to make this lasting impression, and it is these cumulative thoughts that determine the status of the spirit body. In other words, it is not that which comes in that defiles, but that which goes out. Next headline, about time. The higher speed of thought, and life on the bright planes, compared with our set ideas of time, is hard to understand, but it is relative and only noticeable when comparisons are made. In the summer 1957, I spent a week's holiday with my wife in spirit, in one night. I had been projected and joined my wife in a place that I can only describe as a sylvan fairyland of trees and water. We were on the grassy banks of a placid stream overshadowed by trees. Shadows are hardly possible on this bright plain. But the beauty of light and shade was enhanced by the shafts of light from the brilliance overhead, which emphasized the fresh greenness of everything. A poet or writer could fill chapters with descriptions of the beauties of this idyllic scene, and lit would still be incomplete because, as always, there is the sensitivity of the spirit body which is infused by the vibrations of the sphere. As worry or distraction is a vibration of thought and happens to be a lower wavelength of thought, my feelings on this higher vibration of being was of extreme happiness and love, a general love of everything, so it seemed. Before we left this place, I was impressed with the idea of 1 week, and it seemed as such, although there are no nights to mark the passing of days. We were transported, and then I saw that we were hovering over an area on the Sinai side of the canal near Suez, called Shawlufa. It was a place where I had some happy times bailing during the First World War, and I was glad to be able to show my wife one of my cushy spots during a war period and not a battlefield. We rose high, and with a panorama of the desert beneath us, I said to my wife, "There are some nice beaches near Alexandria," where we at once went. We ended a holiday standing on one of the sandy stretches and looking at the sea. Then I was taken back to my physical body. In contrast to the higher planes, the dull astral localities seem to have a kind of time in regard to the duration of an activity that is nearer to our earthly state. Next headline, telescopic sight. One remarkable faculty of the spirit body that is soon noticed is the power of telescopic sight. It is quite automatic, like the focus of the physical eye in the desire to see more clearly. If one is interested in a person, perhaps 200 yards away, all the personal features and color of the eyes can be seen, yet the image is not enlarged, nor is the surrounding landscape, as it would be with a telescope. It seems as if a portion of one's own aura projects a surge of inquiry. After writing the above, that same night in bed, I projected, and my spirit helpers, as if to emphasize this faculty, gave me an opportunity to exercise it more fully. I was taken to the side of a mountain which overlooked a wide valley. The vibrations were pleasant and uplifting, and denoted a higher plane of existence. It was like a bright summer's day, and as my sight took in the scene I noticed miles away two figures seated on a grassy knoll. As my interest focused on them, so did the automatic power of telescopic sight gradually increase, and I saw two people seated side by side. I then saw that one was a man, an Indian, very splendidly dressed, and I sensed a prince who was spiritually advanced. His turban and three-quarter length coat were white and had jeweled decorations which I knew were earned in spirit. By his side sat a lady with beautiful features and typically Indian, who was also dressed in white, and there was some flimsy silken material draped over one side of her head and face. I knew she was his wife, and I could even see the small mark on her forehead which is seen on some Indian women today. There was a path across the valley which went near the grassy bank, and now and again I saw a visitor call on this Indian couple and greet and converse with them for a while. The beauty and serenity of it all stayed with me as I receded from the scene. This was a short projection during the night, and when I returned to my physical body, I realized that this was a lesson as well as a privilege. This remarkable faculty which enables one to see details at such a distance, and in this case sense the personality without even moving from a position, is like telepathy, quite easy and natural in the spirit world. It seems that the spirit body is like an electrostatic condenser and charged with power. This power is at the disposal of the mind, and in the case of telescopic sight or telepathy, a fluidic feeler or surge seems to be projected naturally and automatically to wherever the thought is directed. In likening the spirit body to an electrostatic condenser which is controlled by the mind can also insulate or open it to spirit influx or knowledge, and this can happen on earth as in spirit. How this insulation was penetrated in a drastic but successful manner is shown by the example of Paul's conversion on his way to Damascus, changing him from the orthodox and deeply zealous Saul to the Christian teacher Paul. Many of his teachings are not understood by most people. What he called discerning of spirits is now usually known as clairvoyance or sometimes as extrasensory perception. Many people often acquire this faculty after having had evidence that it is latent within them. I believe this opens the mentality, which may be electro-spiritual, thus automatically lessening the barriers or insulation that was previously adopted. Many fully developed mediums can open or close the senses to the higher spirit vibrations at will. Next headline, meeting my higher self. In my early projections I used to be taken to lectures, but I could never bring the subject matter back to my physical mind like other experiences. I was told that the lectures were to do with the higher knowledge and corresponding wavelength of spirit, and could not be understood or held by the slower physical mind. I can well accept this, as for instance, no spirit has ever explained in earthly terms why or how prediction is possible. What is learned at the lectures is retained by the spirit mind, because when I entered the lecture room I used to have a flashback of previous lectures. The remarkable thing about this spirit memory is that the lectures were remembered in sequence, yet the thought was instantaneous. That is the speed of spirit mind. No wonder I only had hazy recollections when I returned. An amusing thing happened at my first lecture. It was a small hall, with blue plush seats arranged in circular formation. As a new boy I felt a certain reserve and chose an outer seat, but I had no sooner sat down then I was wafted upwards and deposited in a front seat. The later lectures I attended were more like the usual classrooms at schools, and at one of these sessions I happened to glance at what I thought was another student beside me, when I found that I was looking at myself. I was quite interested until I realized that I was admiring myself, then my two bodies at once reunited. A few weeks later, the same thing happened in the lecture room. But this time the teachers were fully prepared, and my two spirit bodies were kept separated, and I was made to observe fully my other spirit self. I appeared to be a very healthy looking young man of about 23 with a full head of hair, which in the physical body I lack. This meeting one's higher self is a very curious phenomenon, with far reaching implications. I have heard of other persons, who have experiences of astral projections and while in spirit, have met a separate double of themselves. This shows that the spiritual being of man is also a complicated structure. The main building had several lecture rooms, and once, when passing the open door of one, I recognized the lecturer. He was my company officer in the army in 1914, and I was pleased to see that his personal appearance denoted a progressed state. He evidently received my thoughts, for he turned and smiled towards me. Wonderful things are demonstrated by some of the advanced ones. I brought back a few recollections of a meeting or lecture I once attended, and I noticed that my father was in the audience with me. We were shown a map of the sea from Spain to the Gulf of Mexico, but I could not retain what was said about it. Then there appeared a series of events like a stereoscopic cinema film, and I remember seeing a number of strangely dressed horsemen who were suddenly overwhelmed by a tremendous wall of water like a tidal wave. When I returned to my bed, I could not remember more, but I thought that it was connected with some great upheaval like the Atlantis legend. This may have been my own surmise, as, had I not seen the map, I might have associated it with the biblical flight from Egypt. Next headline, perfection, my first actual meeting with my wife in my fourth projection, which I related earlier in the book, was one of two outstanding experiences which have been deeply imprinted on my mind. The indescribable spiritual perfection that I saw in my wife when we were face to face, the sacred intensity of the high vibration, and the later explanation of God's image caused me a great deal of quiet thought for days afterwards. I somehow knew that it was one of the eternal and unfailing spirit laws, and that it was simple and natural. I also knew that I would be helped by my spirit teachers in my meditations, and this was so, for gradually the simple truth came to me. When I met my wife and our auras intermingled, there was a beautiful and gentle harmony, and we both thought alike and as one mind, so I am able to relate what we both thought. In that wonderful meeting there were no thoughts of self. Each thought of the welfare of the other, and each saw that all was well. Each mind gave a blessing for the privilege of having had the loving companionship of the other on earth. Each mind was full of the wonder of the meeting, then a heartfelt thankfulness for the loving power that made all this possible. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind. We did just this and really meant it. Then came the transformation. Naturally and unknowingly we had opened ourselves to that power that is always around, and with the power came the higher vibration of spirit. God's image I can still only describe as perfection, yet we are not stereotyped. All the best personal features are beautified and enhanced in some wonderful way and retained, so that we are known and recognized, and the personal wavelength makes each a unique unit. In our subsequent meetings, my wife appears young and has the finely formed features of spirit, but I have not seen her since in that sacred perfection that our fervent thankfulness brought about. I believe that state of being is many planes ahead. Next headline, a horse ride in spirit. My longest contact with an animal in spirit was with a horse, and I consider the occasion one of my greatest privileges. I had been projected and my consciousness of the state on arrival was very gradual, but I became aware that I was firmly seated on a horse. My spirit body sensed the vibration of the place. It seemed to be perfect and beautiful. Then I noticed that there were many people walking about. They all wore colored robes and looked serene and graceful. These robes worn on a higher plane do not look out of place when seen from the same plane, and one does not even think of earthly clothes. I sensed that a ceremony had just concluded and that they were mingling and greeting one another before leaving. The vibration of sincere friendship and love was so perfectly in tune that they seemed to be of one mind, yet each was a separate unit, a lovely personality whose presence was greatly desired by every other unit. This is the real meaning of company. It takes several souls to make company, yet where is company when there is division? This is the spirit version of brotherhood. The vibration of this place held me and had a very remarkable effect. There were hundreds of people here whose faces I had never seen before, yet I could not see a stranger. We all knew one another. I cannot attempt to explain this. Soon I thought, or was impressed, that it was time to be moving and glanced down at the horse, which seemed to be waiting expectantly. Realizing that during the wait it had not fidgeted in the slightest, I felt well pleased with it.